I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey everybody, welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Wednesday, July the 13th.
That it is.
Okay, I was kind of halfway guessing there.
You anticipated, and you were correct.
Good.
I put a question mark on the script accidentally. So
put a question mark on the teleprompter.
July 13th.
You know he'll read anything he reads. He'll say anything he reads. He'll read anything. I can't look at a word without reading it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
That's the one. Don't cut it.
I'm trying to think of the line from Anchorman. What is it?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Yes. I'm Ron Burgundy, anyway.
Dang it, who put a question mark on the teleprompter?
Anchorman 2 has been on a couple times lately. That one I didn't initially think was that great, but each time I watch it, it gets better.
So you have internet again? You have
cable? Oh, yeah, I got internet and cable.
All that's working again at the homestead?
Everything's working.
With the Brady Bunch?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Do you still have a ghost?
Well, I did a little investigative work. Did my best.
Journalist?
I've watched a lot of Ghost Hunters, okay? I know what I'm doing. We did figure out the source of the green lights in the window. If anybody didn't listen to Monday's show, apparently we've got like a poltergeist at my house. We took a picture of the damage to my ceiling after the AC leak. And in the little window next to the door, there's A, these two green lights, and B, Derek thinks there's a face there, and it looks like it could be. But anyway, the green lights
are figured. I think I was the only one. I think pretty much everybody agreed with me that looked at it except you.
Yeah.
My son Drew was convinced now that it's a face.
Oh, good. I'm sorry to have scared the poor children.
No, we'll get back to that in a second.
We don't want
to
live in this house anymore.
As far as the green lights, figured out what it was. It was the light hanging from the ceiling reflecting in the camera. Because when I went to take another picture, I noticed before I took the picture, the two green lights were
on the screen. Yeah, that's what they want you to think.
Moving as I moved the camera, no. So that's what that was. It was
they coordinated it perfectly.
Reflection of the light up there.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's been scientifically explained. As for the face, though, I don't know, because Drew mainly took more pictures, and you can still kind of see the same sort of face, but it keeps changing. Like where it is exactly.
And that makes you feel better about the situation?
No. Again, you might have something there.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little skeptical at first about the face thing, but now maybe so. Because it looks like it's at different angles or it's moved slightly one way or the other. And we've been taking pictures from the same angle.
So I don't know. Is it all in the same pane of glass? Or
does
it
it's all
you started
that
asking
pane.
It questions?
Not yet.
You need to. Would maybe you like so. To cross over? Why are you here? If there's anyone who would like to speak to us,
What do you want from me?
There's no Pokemon here. Go away.
Go away.
Maybe that's what it is. One of those Pokemons become sentient. I don't know. Speaking of that Pokemon Go business, you into that, Derek?
No, I am not.
Okay, good. Chris? No. My son is a little bit, but nobody else in my family, as far as I know. I'm certainly not.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, not yet. Well, it's all the craze. That.
Well, if you talk bad about it, everybody just starts jumping in. It's like, just let us have our thing.
I mean, you know, if it's something you enjoy, fine. It's not hurting anybody unless, of course, you're doing it while you're driving
attention. Lawsuits will be pending. I mean, you know, the Arlington National Cemetery is already having to tell people to get out of the cemetery. If you have to be told not to enter the Holocaust Museum
I saw that.
To catch Pokemon. Pokemon?
Pokemon is plural. The AP actually put out something on Twitter
yesterday.
Oh, I saw
that. I've retweeted and said no.
Proper
that
style.
I'm not.
It's Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Not Pokemon.
Yes. I don't know.
I mean,
I don't care.
I've not liked. I mean, I know Pokemon was big in the 90s, and I remember it then, and I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I never had a trading card. But then listening to our younger folks out here today or yesterday, Emma and Zach, they were like, yeah, we played it. You know, I guess I was too old and grumpy for it. I also didn't have a Game Boy ever.
So I didn't either.
I missed that craze.
I never had a Game Boy. I never had a video gaming system growing up, period. Didn't get one until I was married. So I've never really been into video games.
Yeah, a sheltered life.
I'm not good at them
anyway.
Is that
why you do your hair like that now?
Hmm? What? What's wrong with my hair?
Nothing. I like it. I envy it. Wish I had it.
Okay.
I just wonder if the ghost scared you and it's permanently like that.
It's not that spiky today, is it?
It's up. High.
Is it? Okay.
I feel like I should salute it.
Okay. You can do that.
I'm not going to.
Should I grow up? Should I let it get longer and have a pompadour?
A pompadour? Now, there's a $5 word.
Yeah, it is.
Good job pulling that one out. I don't think you should. I think you should go back to shaving it.
No, I don't think so. That's never happening again.
I think you should.
I had a long stretch of years where I did that. And looking back, I'm like, well, why? Completely wasted my 30s shaving my head.
You'll never get it back.
Prime of my life, and I was shaving my head the whole time. Now I'm getting gray hair, and yeah. But hey, I still got hair, so that's a positive, I guess.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing, just nothing to do with you, buddy.
Really? You kind of shifted your glance this way.
I did not. I'm going to go into that again.
You kind of looked this direction. You're like, why don't you insult my weight, too? Why don't we get off on that? Keep it up. Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Fuzzball.
Well.
Okay.
We have an episode today that will lead us to talk to other people other than each other, thankfully. Zach Orsborn is going to be joining us to talk about an event to get you out downtown shopping this Friday, as well as Caleb Bedillion and Jenna Parsons joining us. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods, formerly known as Palmer's. The locally owned grocery store still offers high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main.
And we'll have crime reports today, by the way. Let's not forget.
All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
Well, let's welcome Caleb Bedillion into the program again. Hello, Caleb. How are you?
I'm good, Brad.
Good, man. I want to talk with you about this. Well, you know, the Ronnie Shumpert situation, that's been an ongoing story, a big story around here. And, you know, we've talked a lot, obviously, about what happened or might not have happened, and Carlos Moore and Tyler Cook and all that. I want to talk today about some local pastors and leaders. They formed this coalition, basically because they feel like there's some problems with the Tupelo Police Department, systemic, endemic, and structural, to quote from your story. And so the Coalition of Concerned Pastors and Leaders has formed in the wake of this Shumpert situation. What's kind of their main goal? Because it does kind of – the scope is beyond just the Shumpert situation, isn't it?
Right. The coalition is comprised of about 20 local pastors and leaders from Tupelo's African-American community. And they have specifically said – they stand with the Shumpert family and support the Shumpert family, that they have not taken it upon themselves to primarily advocate on behalf of the Shumpert family. They have an attorney they're letting the attorney do his thing. So what the coalition has tried to do is say that they feel that there's widespread mistrust among Tupelo's African-American community toward the Tupelo Police Department, and that those problems existed before the Shumpert shooting and will continue to exist, you know, even if the police officer were to be indicted and it were to go to trial. Just resolving that one case isn't going to necessarily address these bigger problems. And certainly if there is no indictment, then, if this case just goes away, they want to make sure that people say, hey, look, listen to us. There's a problem here, regardless of how the Shumpert case is resolved.
Yeah, and there's some names that people would know on this in this coalition, like Kenneth Mayfield, James Hull, Reverend James Hull, who is a contributor to the Daily Journal opinion page every few weeks, and James said, again, it's more than just this situation. Then they say there's been instances in the past of the questionable behavior by the police department towards blacks. And he says this could end up being kind of a tipping point where basically reasonable discourse may not be feasible.
Right. Certainly, when I met with some of the coalition pastors, they have all have stories to tell in which they say, either they or people they know, or even in some cases their sons, they allege have been, unreasonably detained by the police, stopped for, minor violations, and then held for long periods of time. So that's the kind of thing they're alleging is basically racial profiling of African Americans and unreasonable treatment by the police. So James Hull, he invoked the tradition of the Tupelo way, the Tupelo spirit.
Right.
Certainly compared to many other places in Mississippi, Tupelo went through integration relatively, I say relatively easily compared to other places. Right. It had incredible violence. Tupelo has its problems, of course, but there seems to have been a commitment to let's try and do things differently here compared to to other places in Mississippi. But I think there's some fear that the Shumpert shooting has tapped into some kind of long simmering feelings of resentment, and that if city leaders don't move quickly to try and take concrete corrective action, that maybe the Tupelo spirit won't prove enough this time.
And they're kind of wanting to have a citizens review board, I guess, basically a group to keep the police department accountable. I don't know how common a thing that is in towns.
It's not real common in the South. Atlanta does have one, okay. I have been told, but Newark, New Jersey has one. That's one that James Hull has pointed to as a model. A lot of cities in California have them. I think maybe even some in the Midwest. So I can't really comprehensively tell you, how common they are across the country. There are different models. Some of them basically just kind of review the practices and policies of the police department's own internal investigations. Some of them are very strong and are authorized to conduct their own investigations of complaints of excessive force and that sort of thing. I think that's what the coalition is wanting to see, is some kind of strong review board that would be made up. The mayor could appoint some members, and then maybe you would have some other community organizations that appoint members, and then this board would be authorized to investigate complaints of excessive force, police brutality, that kind of thing.
Right.
They also, James Hull really wants to see an emphasis on community policing here.
Yes.
And that's kind of a philosophy of law enforcement that tries to emphasize kind of proactive practices, getting police officers kind of out of their car, so to speak, and on the beat, getting to know community members. It's really focused more on kind of preventive activities rather than just showing up when someone breaks the law.
Right. And, it's a bit of a contrast to the family attorney, Carlos Moore, the way he's approached it. And, of course, he's filed the lawsuit. He's made a bunch of inflammatory comments and whatnot. And then the Pastors Coalition, they're taking a much calmer approach.
James Hullins explicitly invoked the word level-headed. We do want to be level-headed about this. And maybe, they even said maybe there'll be some in their own community that wish they were a little bit more vocal. But right now they're trying to get the city to the table. And, they told me that lines of communication with Mayor Shelton are open. What that means, they're not really detailing. But they believe that right now, they haven't written off more dramatic confrontational approach later.
Right.
But right now, they're trying a level-headed and dialoguing behind the scenes as a way to try and get some of the things they want. We'll see how that turns out. And, certainly one thing, it wasn't as mentioned as much in my story, but the Bishop Clarence Parks, who is part of the coalition, his church, the Temple of Compassion and Deliverance, hosted a prayer vigil on Monday. All day, started early Monday morning, early Tuesday morning.
Right, right.
And that was community-wide. There was white, black, all different denominations there. And the purpose of that was not to say, you have to think a certain thing about the Shumpert shooting to come here, or you have to agree with us on X, Y, and Z to come here. That really was, I think, an effort to try and foster that so-called Tupelo spirit. And they even, part of the purpose was for those that wanted to pray for Dallas and Texas in the wake of that horrific tragedy in Dallas. So it really was an effort to promote, I think, unity among the churches and Christians of Tupelo and kind of encourage prayer for the city without necessarily saying that you have to, you have to agree with X, Y, or Z to come here. Let's come together even if we do have differences. Let's pray together regardless of our opinions.
Right. Okay. Well, a good story there in Tuesday's Journal. You can find it as well at djournal.com. Caleb, appreciate your time.
Sure thing.
Well, college football season unofficially begins this week, and the Daily Journal has you covered. You can visit djournal.com all week for complete coverage of SEC football media days. Daily Journal reporters Parrish Alford, Logan Lowry, and John Davis will provide extensive coverage of all the news on Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and they also will have reports from the press conferences of all 14 SEC schools, including video interviews with players. You can go online now to read coverage from Mississippi State's Media Days appearance on Tuesday. Ole Miss players and Coach Hugh Freeze will meet with reporters on Thursday. For a one-stop location of all their coverage, visit djournal.com/SEC Media Days. And also, look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live at around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes or podcast apps or at preprally.djournal.com. So look for a new episode today. And for more SEC Media Days coverage, check out Double Coverage, an Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports podcast with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. New episode coming out every Thursday afternoon with the guys providing game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. New episode coming tomorrow. Listen to it for free in iTunes or podcast apps or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Zach Orsborn joining us now to discuss an event going on in downtown Tupelo. When is this happening?
It's happening Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And they're calling it Picnic and Promos?
Yeah, aka Progressive Picnic.
Okay.
Which is what they do is at each downtown business, they're going to have a different picnic food. Like one will have watermelon, one will have sandwiches, finger foods. And so you go to each different business, and they all have discounts and deals throughout their store. You can get free food and free drinks. And it's kind of a celebration for the end of the nearly two-year-long construction project downtown.
Our long, tragic national nightmare is over.
Yes, finally.
With downtown Tupelo being complete. Definitely a way to bring people back in. Not the first time we've seen them do something like this. Of course, mm-hmm. Hops and stops. It's along that same that same demeanor. What kind of things will the businesses be doing in addition to the food?
In addition to the food, let's see, like Blair House will have 10% off in-stock items. Bailey Diane, 10% off a tire purchase. Most of the stores have 10% off or 15% off certain items or products or kind of entire purchases. And the Gumtree Museum of Art, they'll be bringing up old posters and T-shirts from past Gumtree Arts Festivals. And we'll be selling those at a discounted price, too.
Good deal. Sounds like there'll be something for everybody to do. So this is happening this Saturday.
Yes.
Downtown. From when to when are we looking at this?
11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Some of the businesses that are participating, I know you listed Country Museum, Reed's, yeah. I assume. Who else can we look forward to by?
We got About the South, Bailey Diane, Blair House, Karen Art Gallery, Crave, Downtown Wine and Spirits, Farmhouse, Fruitalicious, Gumtree Museum of Art, MLM Clothiers, Reed, Spring Street Cigar, Swirls, The Main Attraction, Tupelo Hardware Company, and Willow Bride.
Basically everybody downtown except the eateries. You mentioned earlier this was kind of a celebration of construction being completed. I assume everybody's pretty happy about that on storefront end of things.
Yeah, Kim Karen, she's owner of Karen Gallery. She's also the chairwoman of the promotions committee for downtown Tupelo. And she's the one who organized all this. And she says she said a few hallelujahs, and she was excited to see people coming back and see them walking downtown. And I talked to George Booth III at Tupelo Hardware, and he said he'd know the exact numbers, but it seems like business has picked up after construction finished because it kind of dipped there for a little bit while the stuff was going on. He said everyone's morale is higher. There's some residual effects of just feeling better about going through your day without having to worry about traffic being backed up. It seems things have really cleared out. So everybody's excited that it doesn't take 700 hours to get through downtown pretty much.
Parking seems to be a little bit easier as well.
Yeah.
I know not too long ago I was running in the art gallery for a story, and I parked and got stuck behind a steamroller that had parked and
that's unfortunate.
Left it unoccupied, and I was not able to leave the downtown area. So anyway, Zach, thanks for joining us. Again, this is Friday, 11 to 1, mm-hmm. downtown. Appreciate you coming in.
No problem. Thank you.
Watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. A Chickasaw County resident who traveled to the Caribbean island of St. Thomas is among three people with lab-confirmed cases of the Zika virus. The Mississippi State Department of Health on Monday reported three new cases of the mosquito-borne virus. Residents in Hinds and Rankin counties also were infected by the virus while traveling. In all, there have been 8 Zika cases confirmed to Mississippi travelers this year. There have been no locally transmitted cases of Zika in the United States so far. Typically, the Zika virus causes mild illness with fever, joint pain, pink eye, or a rash lasting several days to a week. Because of the risk of birth defects, women who are pregnant are advised to avoid traveling to countries where Zika is actively transmitted.
The Saltillo Summer Concert Series will continue this week with the second Dinner and Music in the Park. The family-friendly event will begin at 6 p.m. Thursday at Saltillo City Park. Musical guests will be Kevin Wade Project, featuring Chase Windham of Bikini Frankenstein on drums. The Saltillo Main Street Association will be selling hot dog and hamburger plates for $5. House of Bounce will have an inflatable water slide set up for kids, and residents are encouraged to bring lawn chairs, blankets, and bug spray to the community concert.
The Tupelo 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb will be held on Saturday, September 10th at the Bancorp South Arena. Volunteers will climb the equivalent of 110 stories or the height of the World Trade Center. The event will honor the 343 New York City firefighters who died during the 2001 attack. Climbers will wear badges with the names and photos of fallen heroes. The registration fee is $35, and that includes a T-shirt. A portion of the proceeds will go to the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. Funds also will be raised to install 9/11 markers at all 7 fire stations in Tupelo. The event will begin at 8:30 a.m. on September 10th, and it will be free to the public to watch and cheer as the climbers move through the arena. For more information, call 662-231-3338 or email tupelo911climb@yahoo.com. Online registration is available by visiting the Tupelo 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb page on Facebook.
The first in a series of 3 concerts has been announced by Downtown Tupelo Main Street Association. Bluegrass group Town Mountain will headline the July 21st Down on Main concert along with opening act Daphne and the Mystery Machines at 6 p.m. Admission to the concert is free with soft drinks, food, and beer available for purchase. Coolers are not allowed on the premises, but the public is invited to bring lawn chairs for a night of live music and entertainment. For more information, visit TupeloMainStreet.com.
Extensive upgrades to a significant stretch of Tupelo's Main Street are essentially completed. The upgrades include a paved walking trail that connects Tupelo's downtown with the Elvis Presley birthplace in East Tupelo. Pedestrian crossings, new lighting, and planter boxes were also installed downtown. Parts of Main Street, Veterans Boulevard, and Reese Street were repaved and restriped, and parts of East Main Street were widened to 5 lanes. A ribbon-cutting ceremony will take place next Tuesday to formally open the Elvis Presley birthplace trail. It has been billed as a way to link Tupelo's most popular tourist destination with the city's downtown commercial district.
I want to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main here in Tupelo. The store has recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owner's employees have not changed. They've decided to go with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and go with their Cost Plus program. The store now sells its groceries 10% over cost. That has allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. Visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices.
Okay, it's Wednesday. Here we go. Jenna Parsons is here to talk about food. But first, Jenna, how was the escape room you were in last week? Have fun? Heard you and Charlie had a great time.
I did. I did not know what to expect. I did not know what an escape room was. I thought it was like where scary people were going to jump out at you. But Derek assured me that it was not, and it was not that at all. It was challenging.
Little did I know it was her and her husband that would be jumping out and scaring us all.
We did. We did come to blows at one point. And the people who were, you know, watching and knowing when to send somebody in to help us probably didn't know we were married and thought, man, those coworkers are vicious. We did not solve the puzzle, but we came close.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to doing another one.
I'd like to do it. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah.
But anyway, food section today. You can check it out in today's journal or find the stories at djournal.com. Jenna, not allowed to fry anything. You haven't fried anything in like 16 years, Jenna. What happened?
I set the kitchen on fire.
Yeah, well, my wife's done that a few times.
Okay, this is a disclaimer. This is before I was the food writer. I was still the news editor.
Okay, is that some kind of excuse?
Well, I'm just saying I haven't set it on fire since I've been the food writer.
Okay. It would be a stain on your reputation, I guess.
Well, yes. But I often do ask Cooks of the Week if they've ever set their kitchens on fire. And several of them have.
Oh, well, you
so
know,
then we, you know, swap stories.
Do enough cooking. So in this story, apparently you and Charlie got into a fight. And you forgot about the fries.
Yes, I had started the oil on the stove for the French fries. He was about to grill burgers. And at the time, we were in equal positions here at the paper. I was the news editor. He was the copy desk chief. And I say that I took the first dig, but I think it was probably Charlie. But I took the high road in my column. But anyway, we did start fighting about reporters and copy editors. And before we knew it, that grease had caught on fire, and the kitchen was ablaze, and the children were in the house. And we got everybody out and called the insurance agent immediately, who was kind and compassionate and never once called me an idiot. But since then, I don't fry. And so it became, at first I thought it was a joke, but it actually just became a thing that when our children would invite friends over, and the friends would say, oh, what are we having? And they'd be like, oh, we're having hamburgers and potato chips. We're not having French fries. My mom's not allowed to fry, you know. And it just became like something that they said. My mom's not allowed to fry. Like, you know, my mom's favorite color is green or something.
But you still make fries. But now, like the recipe you have in today's column, garlic matchstick fries.
We bake them. We bake white potatoes, Idaho potatoes, Irish potatoes, whatever you call them. We bake sweet potato fries. If we do tater tots or frozen French fries from the store, everything is baked. No more frying.
So you don't have a fry daddy is what you're saying.
If we had had a fry daddy, I probably would not have set the kitchen on fire. Well. But no, didn't have a fry daddy. Didn't grow up with one of those. You know, you do what your mama did. Mama fried in a cast iron skillet. So still have a cast iron skillet. Just don't fry in it.
And then we got the Cook of the Week, Joan Parks from Houston. Spent some time in Virginia, but she's back. She's been back home for a while, hadn't she?
Yeah, she moved back. Spent about, I don't remember, 12, 14 years there in and not doing. Her degree was in home ec. She was managing a high-end property there, and she came home and opened up a little shop, gift shop. Flower shop, and did that, and somebody at the high school got wind that she had a home ec degree, and they were looking for a culinary arts instructor, and so she kept her shop and was teaching full-time, and it got to be too much, and she decided she liked teaching more than she liked being a businesswoman, so she sold the shop, and she's been 7 years now at the high school. Loves it. Loves the kids. Loves watching them learn and watching the cogs turn in their brains when they think outside the box, maybe try food they've never tried, would never have tried.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So she can do what she loves while teaching kids.
Yeah, and they have a grill there. They are the, apparently, you know, I'm not much of a sports person except for golf. British Open is this weekend, by the way. but the Houston must be the Troopers.
The Toppers, Hilltoppers.
Oh, Toppers.
Morville's the Troopers.
Oh, okay. So.
Anyway.
So they have this grill.
Yeah, the Topper Grill. Okay.
And they cook every other week. They prepare a meal for students and faculty. And they have, usually she said they serve about 70 or 80 every time that they cook. And
Yeah, every other week they offer lunch at the grill for $7.
$7. And they have, you know, they have to go by the USDA. So there has to be a protein and so many vegetables and a starch and that type thing. But they do lasagna roll-ups, and they do stuffed chicken breast and all kind of neat things. And she makes her students take one bite of everything. They don't have to take a second bite, but they have to try one bite of everything they cook.
Okay.
So I think it's great. She's kind of introducing them to things they may never have had before.
like strawberry pizza. This looks really good. Strawberry, what is strawberry pizza?
Well, she makes a really decadent homemade dough that starts with two sticks of butter, and then the next layer is like Cool Whip and cream cheese, and then it's strawberry jello on top for that third layer. And yeah, it looked good.
It looked really good. At the picture. Okay. Well, good stuff, Jenna. You can check it out again in today's food section or djournal.com. Jenna, always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. The Daily Journal is excited to announce a change on our website that will allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We recently have removed our paywall, and djournal.com is now free from the first click to the last. We've also increased our multimedia content by launching new products ranging from videos to webcasts. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. So visit djournal.com to stay informed on the latest news in Northeast Mississippi. Whether you want a recipe for tonight's dinner or details on the city's plan to revitalize neighborhoods, you can find it all in one place. There's no limit to what you can do at djournal.com, so come and stay a while and leave informed about the communities we serve. And although it's not Monday, we have crime reports because, as I mentioned on the show Monday, I was gone last week on vacation, and then William Moore, our crime reporter, sent me all of last week's crime reports, so it took me a while to go through them, but I've done so now, so we're going to look at some highlights from last week.
It sounds like a crummy excuse.
What?
I wasn't here.
I was on vacation.
Yeah.
I was on a boat. So,
regale us with your stories.
Boy, we got some good ones. Tell you what. Let's start in Plantersville. A County Road 1199 man said he and a married couple live together. Yeah.
I wonder where this is going. Yeah.
And he has been seeing the wife. Seeing the wife. Yeah.
On her way to work?
I guess you'd see, you know, when she walks by.
No, we have to explain to Chris. See, when a man and a woman love each other very much.
The man said he and the husband got into a verbal argument. The husband said...
Yeah, you think?
The husband said the man fired a gun when the husband entered the house. So the husband comes home, and the other guy
is seeing the wife.
Who's seeing the wife fires a gun at him. I think it'd be the other way around. Don't think it'd be the other way around?
Wait, which one fired the gun? The husband or
no.
the?
No. The gentleman. Hmm. We can't say caller.
I was about to say gentleman caller.
Squatter. The gentleman squatter.
Their roommate fired a gun.
Come and knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. Yes.
Nice. So, yeah, that's
Wait, and he was the one who filed the report? To this one. The roommate is the one who filed the report, too?
I don't know. I guess they fired the gun and the police came out and talked to them both, it looks like.
Oh.
So, anyway. Plantersville again. A County Road 593 Plantersville woman said two men showed up after midnight, banging on her bedroom window, asking for syringes. They said they needed them for diabetic reasons, but she felt they wanted them for narcotic use. And they left after she told them to leave.
All right, fair enough.
Showing up at 12:30. We got diabetes. We need some syringes right now.
We have all the diabetes.
Yeah. It's like
all the sugars.
Is she like, why would they go to her place?
That's what I'm wondering, right?
Unless they've gotten them there before, which I don't know.
Do I look like I have syringes?
Yeah.
I don't not look like I have them.
Maybe she's diabetic, and so they know that she has them. And
did she know these men?
Probably. Hmm. So anyway, yeah, good cover story, guys. Maybe try it in the middle of the day instead, when it's a little less suspicious. I don't know. Okay, a TJ Maxx employee watched a man attempt to shoplift two watches after cutting the security bands off of them. I don't know why you'd need two watches. One's enough to tell time, right? I don't know.
Unless you're a time traveler.
Two arms.
Yeah, true. When police arrived and told the man he was being arrested, he, quote, all of a sudden began having breathing problems. Wow, what a coincidence.
That's why he needed the watch. He was trying to time his breathing. And, they impeded that, and now he's going to die.
He said he needed medical attention and fell onto the floor.
See? What?
Writhing, I'm sure, and gasping for air. When told he was going to the hospital instead of the jail, quote, his gasping for air and breathing problems got better. He was still cited for shoplifting.
Terrible. The man just needed to check his breathing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure that was it.
It was it. I was there.
Good try, buddy.
I'm the guy.
The old I'm having some kind of episode.
Old, I'm having a heart attack when something bad happens. Would you believe?
Mugshots, this is, might be my, one of my favorites ever. A Mugshots waitress said a man came in, drank a few beers over 3 hours, and left. When she went to collect the payment, the man had left a piece of paper that he hand wrote as if it was a valid check for $500.
It was just a blank sheet of paper.
Dad?
just wrote down on a sheet of paper. Check mugshots, 500.
Mugshots, 500. This is good.
I wonder if you signed it.
This is good at any of participating banks, not like in Northeast Mississippi.
Did he actually drink $500 worth of beers, or is he just a big tipper?
I just rounded up, but I drew the line across so nobody could write in anything else, you know?
Yeah. Don't want anything untoward to happen with this check.
And then the memo line, I'm just going to put booze.
Beers. All the beers.
And I'm gonna date it tomorrow. Don't cash it till tomorrow.
Sorry, sir, we don't take checks, especially fake ones.
It's not a check, it's an IOU. That one's for a Lamborghini. That's a keeper.
Like, I wonder what kind of paper was this, like a scrap of paper he tore off that would make it even better.
Well, if she gave him the bill, it may have just turned the receipt over. And
probably.
IOU $500.
It's cool.
Thanks for all the beers, Dave.
You're the best.
So if anybody's seen Dave, let us know.
Is it Dave?
He's out there writing not just bad checks, but really bad checks. Exceptionally bad checks.
Can you bounce a fake check? How does that work?
If you like drew like a check,
what was more confusing formats. Is he added the routing number. So I don't really know what he was doing there.
Oh boy. All right.
It's all in binary.
We got one more. Around 4:30 a.m. Saturday, a patrol officer found a man lying on Ida Street next to his vehicle, which was still in reverse.
We've all done this.
Who hasn't passed out on Ida Street at some point? A man admitted drinking and said he thought he was in Shannon. Ida Street, Shannon, I don't know, is there much similarity?
And driving, never funny. However, this reminds me of a screenshot of a text I saw shared on social media the other day that said it was the person sending the receiving the text. The person sending the text said, "Hey, can you pick me up from the bar and give me a lift home?" And then about 20 minutes later, there was another text from that person that said, "Never mind, apparently I'm home." And the person receiving the text sent back, wrote, "Yes, I know, I dropped you off there." Anyway.
Nice.
I thought I was in Shannon.
So close. Yeah, just a few miles off there. So that's it for police reports. I got more over at my blog at tipsheet.djournal.com. Good stuff there. All right. Anybody else? That it? We're done? What? Oh. Sorry, I saw Dennis Sid walking towards us.
I'm being handed something.
Thought Dennis was going to come in. I'm being
breaking news.
Then Dennis took a hard right, so he's headed somewhere else. No Dennis Sid today. Maybe next time. Where are we at? Shoppers Value Foods. Hey, once again... I'm just killing this ad. Once again, we remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, where you can get the ingredients for the recipes in today's food section. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. You can visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main Street, and you'll love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people you knew at Palmer's. Well, that's it for today's show, Derek. I just cannot talk today. I can't talk most days, but
yeah.
Unless I'm reading from it. Well, even if that's I'm reading from a script, I can't talk.
That's all right. You'll be fine.
So
you'll get it together one of these days. I believe in you.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
One day you'll nail all this first try. Just
total Chris Kiefer just sitting over there.
Makes perfect.
Yeah.
Chris thinking about how much stuff he's gonna have to edit.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's his job.
You don't throw a cup on the ground and be like, the janitor will get it.
Yeah, it's his job.
That's that's a lot of rice on the floor, but somebody else will clean it up. That's why they get paid. That's basically what you just said.
Well, I admit I've done that. Not like on purpose. Like I'll drop something. I'll make a little mess at my cubicle on the floor, some crumbs, whatever. I'm like, nah, maintenance will get that overnight.
You know whose problem that is?
Not mine.
Somebody else's. Tell them where they can find us, Brad.
They can find
you
us.
Terrible human being.
iTunes, any of your popular podcast apps, or streaming online at memo.djournal.com. We're on the Twitters at djournalmemo. And, of course, the Daily Journal itself is on Twitter at djournalnow. You can read all these stories we talked about at djournal.com. I'm on the Twitter at Bradlock. Derek, you're on the Twitter.
I am.
As the old folks say.
I am.
At W. Derek Russell.
That's me.
Chris Kiefer on Twitter at Chiefer. No, no, wait. It's at Chris Kiefer. Sorry.
Got it.
Hasn't changed it yet.
Not yet.
Okay. We'll be back tomorrow, right? Yes. Tomorrow, correct? You'll be here?
I'll be here.
Okay. I think I'll be here.
Okay.
Lord willing.
The creek don't rise.
That's right. All right, y'all have a good rest of the day. See you next time.